welcome back into the buzzer beater here this morning on AM 1340 KXEO. Our special thanks to Braylon Brunkhorst and Ryan Gordon for coming in, especially after a late night playing basketball. We certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, those ladies were very nice. Glad to have them in, and we wish them the best of luck going forward.
Focused and intimidating as far as a basketball team goes, and I think that they are going to go far in the playoffs.
They've got a chance. You know what? Sometimes it's a little bit of luck as well, but man, we wish them all the luck in the world, and hopefully they come home with a state championship.
We shall see. There's still a couple of more games to be played in the regular season of high school basketball. We'll start off with Michael Doherty, his location last night, the Moberly High School, in a game between Moberly and Westrand.
Actually, I was at the MACC, Moberly Area Community College. They had to move it because of wrestling, which is why Maddie's not here this morning. District wrestling going on for the girls. Was being held at Moberly High School, but we were at MACC, and Westrand got very good boys and girls teams, and the girls team got a heck of a scare. They actually led it early, and then Moberly came storming back, tied it up, and they went to overtime before the Lady Hornets came away with a 55-53 win. And then on the boys' side, kind of the same thing happened. The Westrand boys got out to a 10-point lead at half, led by as many as 11, and then Moberly came storming back, and they actually won it by 5, as they won it in regulation, and kind of a little bit of a I don't know. I mean, Moberly's now 12-11. Westrand fell to 19-5, so you can see a pretty good Westrand ball club, but I guess it was an upset, but the refs really let them play, and I think that in the second half, that kind of got to Westrand a little bit, but good experience getting ready for, you know, district play, because we all know they let them play in the playoffs once those began, so good experience in that regard.
Well, you know, you wonder if there's a memo or a discussion amongst the refs as the regular season comes to an end. Yeah. Do you let them play a little bit more? Do you watch the amount of fouls that you're calling in preparation for getting ready to go into districts?
Yeah, because they do let, you know, I mean, we all see this. They let teams play a lot more in district play, and really, you know, they always say, let them figure it out on the court. Well, I mean, they were very aggressive last night, particularly in the paint. I mean, I felt bad for Marshall Kitchen, who was the 6'4 center for Westrand, because Moberly triple-teamed him every time he got the ball, and they were just, I mean, it was like he was in a phone booth. Very, very close hand-to-hand combat is what it looked like at times. But, you know, Westrand couldn't pull that game out. And congratulations to Moberly, because it was that way both sides. So, you know, they came away with a big win, 12-11 for Brett Boyer's club. They looked pretty good, and kind of – and I'm going to float back to the girls' game for a minute. We missed Olivia Dunwoody when she was here. She was out with a couple of injuries, concussion protocol. She made a big difference for that Moberly team last night. Hit a couple of trays, and of course she's a big girl. She's close to 6 foot, maybe even 6'1", so made a difference inside as well.
Yeah, and that's a girl that Mexico Lady Bulldogs saw at the Warrenton Winter Shootout, and she did indeed make a difference for Moberly there, and I'm sure she will as the season continues here. Layton, we're going to report from you for Wellsville basketball. They had a matchup against Bowling Green last night.
Yeah, the boys and girls had a matchup in Bowling Green. They both were losses. The girls lost 41-33, and the boys lost 70-22.
All right.
And that Bowling Green boys team is good, too.
It is.
I think they've got 18 wins now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, they won the Bowling Green tournament, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, and they've got their season off and rolling. Meanwhile, back in Mexico, love was not in the air on Valentine's Day.
Really?
Between the Mexico Bulldogs and School of the Osage Indians. This is kind of becoming a rivalry, and you know, it was a couple of technical fouls were called in that game,
and they still allowed you to broadcast.
Well,
weren't on you.
My partner asked if anybody had ever gotten a technical, in the broadcast booth. I said no, and we don't want to try that tonight. But it was definitely an interesting game in Mexico. ended up winning that game 74-60. The score in the first half was very, very close. Mexico went in with a three-point lead at halftime. You kind of wondered what was going to happen after Mexico went to Harrisburg and lost that game. That's one that they wished that they had back. Yeah. But, you know, it was a nice bounce-back game for Coach Pappas and the guys. Jaden Eldridge honored for his 1,000th point last night, and he scored 27 points in the ball game. P.J. Perkins, Caden Benny had 16 points each, respectively. And Mexico Bulldogs end up winning their 17th game of the season. They're 17-6 now.
Yeah, and I like to hear that Caden Benny had the nice bounce back, because he's really struggled the last couple of outings with his shot. Sounds like he found it last night, and sounds like Jaden really found his 27. That's got to be his highest that he's had in quite some time.
Yeah, he had a really nice game there, and he got back to the free throw line. He was knocking those down, so it was good to see Jaden with a huge game last night as well. Kind of talking a little bit more about Mexico basketball, and we were looking around the league last night. Mexico is undefeated in the North Central Missouri Conference. There was a showdown in Fulton between Kirksville and the Hornets. Kirksville is the next closest team in the NCMC to Mexico. Fulton ended up beating Kirksville last night. Cole Kelly is now injured for Kirksville, broke his foot, so he is now out for the rest of the season, and that kind of changes the whole
dynamic
scheme of things for the Tigers.
Yeah, and it's certainly, you know, now with two losses, Mexico just needs one more win in order to wrap up the NCMC. You would think that that's probably coming up early this next week. As you head into district play, I mean, Mexico probably on a showdown with Hallsville. I talked to Brad Boyer a little bit last night about Hallsville, and he says they're just go. He said, you know, if you get a fast break layup, you better get back, because they will immediately inbound and go the distance of the floor in a heartbeat. Kind of like what we saw against Harrisburg, where we got beat several times on the back end. He said, if you're not ready for it, that's how they beat you, is they just run you to death.
Well, as a matter of fact, Hallsville losing last night to Southern Boone by 2 points. So that was an interesting dynamic, because really in the district, who's going to be the one seed is between Mexico and Hallsville. You thought Mexico might have let it slip away with that defeat at Harrisburg, but then Hallsville loses to Southern Boone by 2 last night.
That's the other thing we talked about. He said probably with that loss that we would lose that number one seed. But now that Hallsville loses to Southern Boone, I think it's right there on the table as to who's the number one seed here. Is it Hallsville? Is it Mexico? It's going to be very interesting to see what the seeding decision comes down to. And that's this week, if I'm not mistaken, coming Thursday.
We were trying to figure out what date that was going to take place.
Wednesday or Thursday.
So it will be, I'll be waiting to see how this turns out. But there's a little bit of anticipation going on there. As Braylon Brunkhorst was telling us earlier about the cough in the air and the flu going around, Mexico Lady Bulldogs in Capital City had their game canceled last night. Sickness on the Mexico team, sickness over on the Capital City team, and I think that this is just hitting all the school districts all at once.
It's been horrible for about the last 3 weeks, and we were kind of joking with Braylon a few minutes ago about don't get that cough, but if there's one thing that can derail a season right now for some of these really special teams, it's somebody getting sick and spreading it throughout the team. As a coach, this is something you got to start thinking about. You can't. It's not like you can put a bubble on these kids at school. I mean,
yes, you can.
All these.
Yes, you can. I've talked to Coach Pappas.
Bubble wrap them up.
That's right.
That's the scary part is you just don't have any idea.
And you have no energy with that stuff. You talk about just trying to walk around and catch your breath, but you're up and on the court trying to run back and forth and be at your best. It takes you down a couple of notches.
Well, and I think that's the scary part for a lot of these good teams right now, is it's going around. And hopefully it's about to work its way out of all the schools, but no way of knowing what that situation is going to look like here. And because we're only a week and a half, 2 weeks away from districts.
That is correct. As March the 1st is whenever districts will be starting. We're going to kind of switch gears a little bit. We're going to go into college basketball as 21st-ranked Missouri men's team on the road today against the Georgia Bulldogs. Not going to be an easy game, but Georgia right now with 16 wins on the season. Mizzou coming off a nice victory against Oklahoma earlier this week.
Yeah, and they really needed to kind of get that. They struggled a little bit at the free throw line, and that's something they got to clean up. I think it's a nice win. I think they can get another good win today over Georgia. Very capable of doing that. Not to say that Georgia's not capable of beating them, because this is the SEC. I mean, there's talk of trying to get 14 SEC teams into the NCAA tournament. I don't know that they'll do that, but there has been wide talk about 14 teams being really where the baseline should be from the SEC, and I don't disagree. The SEC is just, it's hard to amass, you know, 20 wins in a league that has got such good teams. To me, and I'm not the only one, one of the basketball analysts said this the other day, said this is the best league ever.
Oh, yeah, in college basketball. I agree with that. Georgia, I believe, is a bubble team at this point with a record of 16-9. You know, they had a setback against Texas A&M, number 8 in the country, but who doesn't?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I think Mizzou is solidly in, but you would definitely like to see them get past that 20-win threshold. And I've been saying this for a while now, I think Mizzou is a 9 or 10 seed going into the NCAA tournament.
Well, there's still the last thing I saw was an 8-9 seed. They've been as high as a 5. I still think they're going to end up, by the time this is all said and done, I think they'll end up more around the 7 line, maybe 7-8 line. I hate to see them in that 8 line because then you match up with the number 1 seed. They'd be much better off in that 7 seed, and hopefully they can, you know, get up there or maybe even a little higher. But just depends on how they finish out, obviously.
We shall see. That game will be on KXEO here just a little bit later on this afternoon as Mizzou gets set to face Georgia. We want to kind of talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. We've had almost a week to recover and lick our wounds. All of us were wrong about that Super Bowl. I certainly didn't expect it to be a blowout.
That was my fear. I picked Philly to win, and I had a feeling just the way their offense was – hitting, it seemed like they were hitting all cylinders, and their defense was playing pretty well as well. Now, I did not expect their defense to do what they did to the Chiefs in that game. I mean, that was honestly almost total domination until mop-up time.
I think it's more so what the Chiefs did to themselves, although the Eagles did really well on defense.
Yeah. So, you know, kudos to the Eagles. You know, they get the win this time.
Enough of that.
We're done with the Eagles.
Yes, indeed. I've seen some folks around Mexico sporting their Eagles wear and putting their Eagles flags on their automobiles. But, okay.
Saquon Barkley came out and said it's time for the Eagles dynasty. And while they're good, I mean, he's in his 7th year. Running backs in the league don't usually last.
Especially, you know, more someone with his injury history.
I think he's probably got another couple good years. So can they win another Super Bowl? Certainly, they could. I mean, they've drafted. Oh, my gosh. That Super Bowl, the biggest Super Bowl advance should go to their general manager because they have drafted unbelievably well in the last 3 years. And they're set up very well with those draft picks. But, you know, as we've seen as a Chiefs fan, it's tough to win, and it's tough to repeat, and it's even tougher to three-peat. So,
unheard of to three-peat in the NFL, as a matter of fact.
You know, I think the big thing for the Chiefs right now is, does Travis Kelce come back?
That's the question. Yeah. Is he going to retire? He was on the New Heights podcast with his brother Jason, who retired last year, by the way.
From the Eagles?
Yes, and talked about it, and he said, I'm going to kick the can down the road for a little bit. I'm not going to make a decision right now. Chiefs and Andy Reid have given him a deadline to make a decision, and that's March the 14th. It's not too far away.
And Reid is coming back. The other big decision for this team is, what do we do at tackle? You know, they put Joe Thuney out at tackle, and I felt bad for Joe because he was you know, he's a guard. He's an all-pro guard. He's not a tackle. He did his best. But they need a stud left tackle. They do. And hopefully they'll go out and find one, whether it's drafting them, whether it's free agency or whatever. But you've got to fill that hole. That's the one big glaring weakness on that Chiefs team. So we'll see what they do.
Yep. Trey Smith also reportedly going into a free agency, the offensive lineman for the Chiefs. He's a big puzzle there. Yeah. Protecting Patrick Mahomes, a free agent. And the Chiefs do not have a whole lot of cap room. $11.4 million in cap space, not a lot at all. I think New England, in comparison, they've got like $121 million.
New England's been saving for a little while.
Yeah.
They've been banking their money. But yeah, that's the concern. And Trey Smith is one of the better. You know, we mentioned Thuney, but Trey's the other guard, and he's very good as well. So if you have to replace Trey as well, I mean, that's even more issues that you've got on that offensive line that you've got to figure out a way to patch those holes.
Yep. What are you going to do with your draft picks? Course, is the other thing. Kansas City has the 31st overall pick in the first round, 1 second-round pick, 2 third-round picks, and 1 in the 4th round and the 5th round. So we'll see what the Chiefs can do with that.
Yeah.
We're going to kind of...
You want to talk Cardinals baseball real quickly?
Yeah, let's do it. A little bit of arbitration news this week.
Okay. What do you have? Do you have... or do you want me to start? Because I can... Cardinals pitchers and catchers have reported. They did that to Jupiter, Florida earlier this week. Also, big news as far as Bregman, the third baseman from the Astros, has signed with the Red Sox, which means that the trade market for Nolan Arenado is exactly... nothing. I mean, there's interest from the Yankees, but they have asked the Cardinals to eat half of his $76 million salary, and the Cardinals...
Have no appetite
for that. Basically, they were in that about the 3 years left, and they were looking at between $5 to $10 million each year. So about $30 million of that, and probably not that, probably closer to 25 of that $76 million owed him. So really, there's no trade market. So Nolan Arenado.
I feel like at the deadline, he will get a bigger target.
Well, if he plays well. If he plays like he did last year, no, he won't. I mean, nobody's going to pay that much money unless you eat. And that's the risk you run is if he's good, yeah, you're going to trade him. And you're still going to have to eat some salary. But if he's not good, what do you do then? Because... the trade market is minimal, and then you have to eat even more salary. And this affects a number of players. It's interesting because Nolan Gorman goes to second now instead of playing third. Brendan Donovan goes from second to left field. Left fielder Lars Nootbaar goes from left to center. Michael Ciani and Thomas Scott, who are going to platoon in center, now one of those gets to platoon all over. And... the other issue is Thomas Sagisi, who you wanted to play on the infield and have spot starts across the infield, is now bumped back to AAA. So this revolution of all the young kids playing is put on hold quite a bit. It's unfortunate, but it's the reality, and that's kind of the, you don't see teams doing what the Cardinals did now. Just in the last 5 years, the landscape of baseball has changed so much that you don't see teams extending players into their late 30s. They basically are going with the young superstars and paying them for 3 or 4 years and, letting those guys get opt-outs every couple of years if they want to re-up and get, now with a few exceptions. We've seen a few of those guys that have, there's about 2 or 3 guys every year that'll sign long-term contracts for outrageous money. But for the most part, they've moved away. Major League Baseball has moved away from the type of contract that Nolan Arenado has. And the Cardinals are probably going to have to eat a ton of that money. And maybe, if he doesn't have a good year, you may be looking at the end of the year where they eat the rest of his contract.
couple of fans out there already putting up the headlines on social media. The St. Louis Cardinals officially eliminated from the playoffs before the season gets started. We shall see. The arbitration news that happened this week, right-handed pitcher Andre Pallante defeated the Cardinals in salary arbitration. He's going to earn $2.1 million instead of the $1.925 million offer from the Cardinals. And also a day earlier before that, Cardinals split their first two salary cases, beating outfielder infielder Brendan Donovan and losing to outfielder Lars Nootbaar.
Yeah, and I don't think there was too much of a surprise with any of the three. Honestly, I was a little surprised Andre Pallante didn't ask for a little bit more. I mean, he had some pretty good numbers split between starter and reliever last year. Probably could have been in that upper twos, but went with 2.1 against the Cardinals 1.9, I think it was. And so not much of a decision, really, in my opinion. But going to be interesting to see. Cardinals have held on to a lot of their veteran starters. So they've got a, you know, got a chance pitching-wise. They're just going to have to hit. And we'll see if those youngsters can hit.
Absolutely. It is time to go around for our Athlete of the Week. And, Layton, we're going to start with you.
I'm not sure I have anybody in particular, but we'll go with our Centralia girls who came along.
Okay, very nice. So your Athletes of the Week, junior Braylon Brunkhorst and also sophomore Ryan Gordon from Centralia Basketball. Michael Doherty, we've seen a lot of basketball this week. Any particular Athlete of the Week for you?
You know, we have, and I'm going to go with one that we don't see very often, just because we don't cover West Grand basketball that often. But I'm going to go with Emma Wortman for West Grand. I thought she did a really good job last night. Is a nice post player and has helped lead those ladies to a 19-win season. So I'll go with Emma Wortman.
All right. I'm going to go with Montgomery County freshman Emma Rogers, who put up a 35-point game this week for the Montgomery County Lady Wildcats. And congratulations to her. As we heard, you know, Montgomery County in that same district as the Centralia Lady Panthers, looking for a little bit of a showdown there. I think it was Montgomery County and Centralia that met in that same district
last year.
And Centralia came out on top of that one.
They did, and that was a heck of a game last year. Montgomery County girls were probably a little stronger last year than what they are this year, but they're still pretty good this year. So sleep on them.
We shall see as we get set. Only about three or four games remaining on all of the high school team schedule as we race towards district playoffs. We're going to race out and about and try and beat the weather here today. But that's going to do it for another sports show. For Michael Doherty, for Layton Maskey, I'm Matt Pilger. You've been listening to Sports Talk on AM 1340 KXEO.